Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm in the habitat program and specifically in the fish passage division. And today I'm going to be talking about the culvert prioritization. And kind of what I want you guys to take home from this talk is that we're really trying to guide and encourage where to focus on fish passage within all of the Chehalis. It's not to dictate, you know, start here, this ranked number one project. It's more to think broadly at top ranking projects. And some of this culvert prioritization and this model is currently incorporated in request for proposals in the Chehalis through Surf Board and through ASRP. So this is currently being used to help score projects. So, a little background on WDFW and our fish passage program. So, starting in the 1980s, WDFW started collecting fish passage data. We've been, since that time period, we've been a leader in fish passage evaluation based on a science-based protocol. And starting in 1991, we created a centralized database for fish passage data, and now has over 50,000 sites in that database. A little history on myself. I've been with the agency for almost 8 years now, primarily been working in the fish passage division. Started out with the inventory and assessment, so a lot of time driving around, looking at barriers, evaluating them. I then was able to promote to inventory crew supervisor and hire and train staff to do that work. And then for the past 3 years, I've shifted my focus to do more grant funding and restoration, working with a branch of the USDA, the Natural Resources Conservation Service. So this is one of the projects I did just down the road in Vader, and the rainbow came out just as we were removing that barrier culvert, so pretty cool project, and then replaced it with a stream simulation culvert. So I kind of bring that perspective of, you know, boots on the ground, doing all this assessment, walking streams, to also that soft funding component and how challenging and opportunistic you have to be with fish passage restoration. The goal of this project is to create a GIS-based model, which is interactive map, and then have a supporting Excel spreadsheet where you can kind of tweak and refine that model. And it's to guide grant funders to focus on restoration in this sort of top tier of projects. So I define it as sort of the top 10%, all the way down to the top third of projects is where we want to focus restoration within the Chehalis. And really trying to create a user-friendly interactive map. It includes all the 11 different model metrics that I'll get into. And we're dealing with a large data set. There's over 4,500 sites in the Chehalis. About half of those are barriers to fish passage, so 2,500 barriers in the Chehalis. And that number is defined by, it has to meet criteria of being a barrier, but also have anadromous access. So you may have areas that are resident trout only that are not included in the model. The Chehalis Basin has had a prioritization process based on an Excel file that was created in 2008. So restoration practitioners and grant funders have been working off that file for the past 10, 12 years. Really great, but it's a static way of prioritizing the culverts. We've done lots of those high-ranking projects already. The focus of that kind of prioritization, and we try to echo this in the current prioritization, is looking at barrier passability, miles of habitat gain, and number of species utilizing that crossing. We really want to create a collaborative partnership. WDFW was funded by the legislature and ASRP to create this interdisciplinary team of restoration practitioners, local jurisdictions, state and federal agencies, and grant funders. And, you know, even though I was leading this effort, we really had a bottom-up approach to have this subcommittee of folks, including WFW, U.S. Fish and Wildlife folks, all these different agencies and staff up here, to put our minds together and really try and think about how we want to guide restoration. Many of these people are here today with decades of experience doing restoration within the Chehalis. And then such as like folks with Lewis CD, Pacific CD, Gray CD, also had folks from the local jurisdiction perspective as well. So counties, Lewis County and Thurston County, they have a different way of prioritizing culverts. They may be more focused on a road improvement or a chronic maintenance problem where the road's deteriorating, and that may be driving some of that work. Or maybe they're working nearby in that region, so you can save funding by working along that same highway region. So we all tried to come together. It's been about a 2-year process. I've been doing the work for about a year and a half, and getting everybody to come together and build that shared vision to collaborate and come up with the best way to prioritize culverts using the best available science we have out there. The Chehalis is a unique basin. So much of the work and talks that we heard earlier this morning tried to include some of that into our model. And so utilizing and leveraging this best available science and funding and research that's going on to the ASRP to look at culvert prioritization on a species-specific level. So you can look at it if you're focused on Chinook or Steelhead, you can focus on projects that way, or you can focus on bundling all those salmon species together. There's a real spirit of collaboration in this work in the Chehalis. And tried to share data. So we've been sharing with some of the other model update folks our fish passage data. Been working tirelessly, my coworker Cade Roller, who's not here right now, but he's been leading the Swifty update and fish distribution. But also sharing some of the work of that John Winkowski worked on with Thermalscape and incorporating that into the model so you can visually display those maps that he had up and see that on this interactive GIS-based model. Another call out is the work of Tim Beachy and Noah in their life cycle model. So we're using some of those inputs, and I'll talk about those in a minute as well. We've been working tirelessly in the Chehalis Basin, and we're starting to reap the rewards of that. The Chehalis has the most complete and extensive and updated fish passage data of all of Washington. This is a pretty major accomplishment. Through dedicated field staff going out there, doing assessments, re-inventorying, trying to get sites up to our current protocol. And then my time and my coworker Kate's time going through as biologists and having conversations with all the restoration practitioners and thinking about fish distribution and species use. And quality control that data, making sure that those 2,500 sites are good quality data. That's the biggest driver and success of this. And kind of going through and cleaning up some of that data as well. There can be this FPDSI is the WDFW database, but DNR also maintains a RMAP database. And sometimes there's duplicate records, so cleaning up that work. So great result to have this most updated current fish passage data in all of Washington. The second part of that is we wanted to be able to auto-calculate habitat gains and look at, when you click on a dot or look at a dot that's a barrier, you can see what barriers are upstream and downstream and how much habitat by species there is. In order to do that, we wanted to update both NHD, the National Hydraulic Dataset, as well as the Statewide Integrated Fish Distribution Data, or SWIFDI. So, Cade and I have been working through over 100 miles of increased salmon distribution, working with Ecology to update over 300 NHD updates. And again, this allows us to auto-calculate habitat gains and really try to have a collaborative approach working with ICF to help us work through some of that, and then lots of stakeholder meetings and working with the Chehalis Tribe and the Chenault Indian Nation and Northwest Indian Fisheries to incorporate those SWIFDI updates. Given some of the talks and work of Eric and other folks this morning, we expect we can keep improving this SWIFDI and distribution of fish. You know, this is kind of our first cut, and we've been working in tandem, trying to race to have some of these results tied to bienniums and fundings, but now we're starting to get really good quality data from all these folks and hope to incorporate more and more into that and continue to update SWIFDI. So the next three slides, you'll see the 11 different model metrics. Here's the metric title, so barrier passability, habitat quantity. This is the data set where it's based off of, so our fish passage database or DNR's RMAP data. The proposed scoring for each category. Almost all these are out of a score between 0 and 5. The exception is the habitat quantity. This habitat quantity is based on per species, so Chinook, Coho, Steelhead, they each get their unique habitat quantity based off of Swifty. And you'll see that we try to differentiate lots of conversations with those stakeholder groups of, you know, a stream that has 1 to 2 miles of gain, you start really getting into good quality habitat and gains. So we wanted to differentiate at this low end of habitat gain, but also give opportunities to score more points if you really do have quite a bit of habitat gain above that fish passage site. The last category on here is the scoring category. And this is kind of looking at some of these features are what I call barrier specific. So an individual stream crossing only needs one score to talk about barrier passability, or one score to think about upstream and downstream barriers. Whereas some of these other ones are much more species specific. So the amount of miles of gain for coho. Lastly, we have this scoring criteria, but with that Excel file, we can look at weighting these different scores as well, and adding more emphasis and trying to stay true to that original Chehalis prioritization. We're really focusing and trying to guide folks to think about barrier passability and habitat gain and number of species benefit. So staying true to that. Also, talking about habitat gain here, it's based off of Swifty, or we would stop habitat gain if there's a total barrier upstream. So that would stop habitat gain. And as we all know, it's very difficult to determine end of fish use. So what we tried to do is sort of buffer some of these categories. So between 6 and 7 miles or 5 and 6 miles, you're gonna get the same sort of score and weighting. So that helps combat some of that inefficiency or discrepancy in the data there. With downstream and upstream barriers, we wanted to look at that connection and try and guide folks to focus in the lower end of the watershed and work upstream. A lot of legislator and funding, like with the Fish Barrier Removal Board, they really want you to have that focus of working downstream up. And we wanted to encourage that. So a lot of detailed conversations and thinking about how the fish passage data and what does it mean to be a 0% passable barrier, or a 67% passable barrier, or a 33% passable barrier. These are broad categories, and there's things that can fall through the cracks in that broad category of barriers. And that isn't to say that only 33% of fish make it through. It's just this coarse measurement to divide up the barrier severity. So working with all the restoration practitioners, we had to try to have really good conversations and thinking about, well, you know, if you have multiple 33% passable barriers below you, that's gonna can be really just as bad almost as having a total barrier downstream, especially during high flow events. Also included road density from NOAA life cycle, water quality through 3D listings. These are somewhat sporadic, but they're consistent across the basin. Incorporating the stream temperature with thermalscape. So we used the last year's August as well as 2040. And then canopy cover is a really great one to work with NOAA. It's looking at canopy opening angle as well as buffer width and tree height. So you're not only getting canopy cover, but you're also looking at wood recruitment potential as well. Really trying to create this centralized database. WDFW's housing and maintaining it. It's based on live data and updates. You can visually see all those different layers. Some things like synergy are hard to capture in a model like this, though. So when you're thinking about sequencing and working with other partners and funding in a watershed, really trying to have a coordinated approach to that. But some of that's better captured in the grant application itself rather than a tool. You can visually see some of those things, but it's part of the grant writing to be successful and give that description. There's also opportunity to have conversations and coordinate. So thinking about Department of Transportation and their requirement through the injunction to fix all their stream passage barriers in RISE 1 through 23. You can query this database and model and look for state-owned barriers or ones that are in the top 10% of barriers. And you'll get results. And this is from the map. There's the DOT crossing on Highway 12. You'll see the site number, all the different criteria. This is in the top 2%, the stream name. Really great way to coordinate that approach. Through this sort of tool and conversation, you start learning about other restoration that's going on here and having conversations. So these crossings were designed through ASRP. I'm currently working on this one with a WDFW engineer in the NRCS program. Here you can see, continuing down, this is the drop down of that site. You can see the miles of habitat gain, all that visual display. The map itself displays all those 11 different habitat metrics. As I mentioned, you can query the database. You can then export that query from those results. It's tied to our live fish passage data, so you can generate site reports from that. You can see the current images of that. You can also see barrier corrections and start looking for those projects and bundling and synergy type thing. The last thing you can do is you can map measure habitat gain. You can fact check what you know from the basin, or if you have additional knowledge, you can talk about that in your grant application. But it's a good way to kind of, if you know that stream in particular and you have evidence that they continue on up further, you can adjust the Excel spreadsheet and then propose to the grant funders that change. You know, with limited resources out there, it's great to build upon these science-based models and prioritization to help stretch dollars and investment within the basin. We're getting really good feedback on some of this tool. The Upper Columbia has done a similar work as this on their watershed, and we're hearing a lot of good feedback from other folks, like the Pacific Coast region is interested in doing this model update, as well as South Puget Sound. So with that, here's opening up to questions, my contact information, my coworker's Kate, and then this is the link to the prioritization map.